Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day to you, everybody. Thank you for the pleasure of your time. Thank you for giving me this distinct honor to spend a half an hour with me today on Alive to Love, All Lesser Values or Potential BS. I am Bishop Randy Dean, here today again to discuss with you the infinite power, the infinite wisdom, and the infinite subject of love. Nobody would have ever convinced me, maybe even 10 years ago, that the subject of love could be something that we could discuss and teach and preach and disseminate over any period of time, such as what I'm doing currently. Nobody could have convinced me of that 10 years ago, but now I am utterly convinced I could spend the next 20, 30, 40 years of my life discussing and preaching and teaching, expounding on the subject of love, because it has no bottom, it has no top, it has no sides. Love is an inescapable wisdom. Love in itself is wisdom, and the beauty and the power, the infinite exploration of love is that which will keep your life and my life exciting, healed, moving forward, taking our lumps and picking up our pieces and going on forward, because love never fails, and love has this neverness to it. So today again, I'm taking up the subject with you because I believe in the infinite wisdom of love. I truly do have this passion about it that needs to be explored with you all and with other venues that I attend to. and it's something that I know that I have to forever explain, because I know that various people who come in on this topic or come in on this subject with me now are coming in at different levels, different understandings of their grasp of love. One of the things that I know I risk when I talk about love, because I have a very personal attachment and understanding of codependency, I risk codependency when I tell people that love is the answer, because it is easy. It is easy to assume that then a codependent lifestyle is a loving lifestyle, and that nothing could be further from the truth. So I want to talk a bit today about how codependency can crowd itself in on the wisdom of love and how to keep it separate. It's a challenge. I admit it. I participate in an Al-Anon group called CODA, and in that there is the 12 steps of recognizing that I am subject to the addiction of codependency. I'm subject to the addiction. It's a emotional drug. It's a psychological drug to be codependent. Codependency means that I'm working harder on your life than you're working on your life, which means then that I'm living not just my own life, I'm living other lives as well. And that is ragged. That is rough. No one should be trapped in codependency. And if you are, I urge you, find an Al-Anon group. Find a sponsor that'll help you be accountable to get out of codependency, where you're working harder on somebody else's life than they're willing to work on it. Now, having said that, I want to be certain that you hear me say that codependency is no excuse for opting out of love. I want you to hear that carefully. There's a wisdom to love. There's a power to love. And yes, codependency can creep in on the edges of love, but it is absolutely incumbent that you let nothing steal from you the beauty of living a life for love alone. A life for love alone is worth living. So when you find that you are feeling as though you've loved too much, or you've loved in a way that's causing you exhaustion, stop. Re-examine. Take a hard look at what you're calling love. You may discover that codependency has crept in the sides and it's trapping you in something that's exhausting and negative. Codependency and love are two different things, and they don't mix well. In fact, the codependency is drawn to love, But love, when it is real, when the wisdom of love shows up, the wisdom of love looks at codependency and says, get out of here. There's not room in this town for both of us. There's not room in this person for both of us. So let me explore that with you. Let me read something to you that I have written in my journal that I have renewed over and over again since January of 2015. For most, I will love with as much proximity as possible. For some, I will love with as much as I can grasp or learn on any given day. However, for a few, I will need to love at a safe distance, for their sake and for mine, but no matter what, for all, A-L-L, all, I will love. Let me read that to you again. If you've got a pencil and paper handy, you might want to jot this down. Listen to it again. This is my commitment. I renew it in my journal once a year, at least once a year. For most, I will love with as much proximity as possible. For some, I will love with as much as I can grasp or learn on any given day. However, for a few, I will need to love at a safe distance for their sake and mine. But no matter what, for all, I will love. Let me break that down briefly here. For most, I'm going to love everybody as much as I can, as with as much proximity as possible. Proximity in the geography. Are we close? Are you my neighbor? Are you my coworker? That's most people in my life. Just somebody that's in within the proximity of my journeys in life. I will love with as much proximity as possible, and I will love you with as much closeness as is possible. So if you're my coworker, I may only see you a little bit every week. If you're my neighbor, I may only see you once a week or maybe once a month, but that proximity is what I have to aim my love at. How close can I afford to give in that relationship? Because maybe that person's not interested in a whole lot of proximity, and I have to respect that, but I will still love them. So for most, I'm going to love with as much proximity as possible. For some, I will love with as much as I can grasp or learn on any given day. Now, that's another level of relationship. That's somebody I'm related to in a business partnership or in a church partnership or in a project or some program. It especially is true of a family. That's the sum that I'm going to love with as much as I can grasp or learn on any given day. It's family, it's marriage, it's friendships. So I will, for most, love with as much proximity as possible. For some, I'm going to love with as much as I can grasp or learn on any given day. Because you see, love is not just a static quality. Love is a wisdom that has to grow. You'll need to explore how to love that next level of relationships in your life. When you're completely engaged in a relationship such as a marriage, well, then that love had better be growing with age. It ought to be growing with a sense of how today looks. What am I going to need to learn about love with this partner in life? It's true about children. It's true about grandchildren. It's true about partnerships in business or church. So there may be some in your life that you're working with routinely, and that means there's going to need to be as much as you can grasp or learn on any given day. However, now here's another level, and this is in particular what keeps us from becoming codependent. However, for a few, and I want to emphasize a few, this isn't many people, but it is a few, I will need to love at a safe distance for their sake and for mine. You see, codependencies will drive you to stay in an abusive relationship. Codependency will drive you to stay in a relationship that is draining and bleeding you. Codependency will tell you, well, if you love them, you're just going to have to stay in this no matter what, and it'll cost you everything. In fact, it'll cost you quality of life, and it'll cost you the ability to love others on any quality level. Codependency will bewitch you to think that, well, I don't have any choice in this matter. I just have to love. I've got to love. Now, listen to me carefully. When you are in a codependent relationship, It, again, is that relationship where you're working harder on that person than they're willing to work on their own issues in life. And now you're not just living your life, you're living their life too. And it is bleeding you. That is not love. That is codependency. And you probably need a mentor or a sponsor like somebody in Alcoholics Anonymous. You need somebody who can check in on you or you can check in with and say, help me. I'm feeling like I'm getting used. I'm feeling like I'm exhausted in this relationship. Am I codependent or am I walking in love? Make sure you have somebody who can look you in your beady little eyes and tell you, hold everything. You're being used here. Hold everything. This one person, and again, this is just few people in our relationships. This person is bleeding you dry. Make no mistake about it. When you're in a codependent relationship, it is exhausting. You will end every day in that relationship feeling as though you got nothing left in your tank. And I promise you, once you get out of that cycle of codependency and give yourself to the true power of love, I promise you, you will find energy, you'll find enjoyment, you'll find pleasure in life, and it will be more given to the honest pursuit of love. And the rest of this commitment that I've made is this: but no matter what, for all, I will love. Jesus told us to love our enemies, and that means enemy on any level, politically or emotionally. Any enemy in your life is Jesus' command to love. Now, he's not commanding you to live codependent with them, no. He is commanding you, however, to find a deeper place in your soul, a deeper place in your mind, to live a life for love alone. And love alone may cause you to have to say, I'm going to have to step geographically away from these few who are draining me, but I will still find inside of me a place, a deep place, a powerful place, a wise place for love. There is a wisdom in love, and that wisdom will always give back to you more than you've ever given, because as you give love, love will come back to you over and over and over again. The beautiful cycle, the beautiful circle of love is inexhaustible. But what is exhausting is codependency. I want you to remember that. Now let me take you to another step in this understanding. So it's when we're reaching for a life lived alone for love, to live alone in the wisdom for love, we're going to need a consistent daily evaluation of our motives, our priorities, and how it is that we're functioning in our love life. You know, I know this sounds mechanical. I know it sounds almost business-like. Please forgive me. I don't want it to be that at all. But I do understand that when we treat love with this casual, come see, come saw, maybe a little here, a little there, then love doesn't reach the depths that it needs to reach. Love can reach into a depth of living that few of us have experienced, but all of us are being invited to. So, yeah, you're going to have to forgive me a little bit here. I do feel like the pastor, counselor, the mentor in this, and I want to challenge you so much. I'm challenging myself as I share these things with you. So please understand, that's my challenge in this. So when I'm walking in this life and I'm seeking to live the wisdom of love, I need to remember that it's not about what should I do. You know, as a pastor, for years people would say, Pastor, I don't know what my calling in life is. I don't know what I should do with my life. Listen, it's never about what should I do, what should I do, what should I do. It is always about who and how should I love. Who and how should I love? When you're trapped in a circle of how do I go about my life? I feel so rudderless. I feel so purposeless. Listen, it's not about what you should do. It's what about you should be, and it's how you should be a lover of life and a lover of people. Whatever you love, however you love, those loves will be attracted to you. whatever you love, however you love, that love will be attracted to you. So it's important for you to know how to be a lifelong person in pursuit of love alone. Because as you pursue love, love will attract to you the purposes for your life. Love will bring to you the opportunities for its expression. If you love art, if you love whether it's painting or sketching or sculpting or singing or poetry, when you love something, I promise you that something will be attracted to you. Whatever you love will be attracted to you. If you are loving your spouse, if you are loving your children, if you are loving your life on a healthy level, it will be drawn back to you. Now listen carefully. There may be dry seasons, and oh, do I understand that? I promise you I understand this. You can love, and there may be dry seasons for that which you love, and you will be pained for wanting to love something up close, someone up close and personal. But listen to me. No season is forever. Oh, yeah, it may be a year. It might be 2 years, and it might even be longer. But I promise you, that season will come to a rich and beautiful, fulfilling end if you will commit yourself to the wisdom of love, because love will not fail. Love will not give up. I'm thinking of the parable of the prodigal son that took all of his inheritance and ran off and wasted it on a prodigal lifestyle. The prodigal father went to the edge of the house and the edge of the gate, the edge of the property every day looking for the son to come back. Now, you know, we don't really know how long it was that father waited, but we do know that prodigal son spent everything he had. So let's assume that the father was a very wealthy man, and let's assume that it might have taken a few years for that prodigal son to spend it all. But whatever the case, that prodigal father went to the edge of his property routinely waiting for the son to come back. And when the son did come back, the father ran out to meet him. Why? Because the father was living for love alone. Listen, when you love something, someone, and you love them with an endurance and with patience, it will be drawn back to you. Oh, and that is hard. I do understand that. That is a challenge in life, and I've been there more times than I can count, but I also want to tell you, it is always worth that wait. By changing our experience with love, we can change how love ends in the result. Let me back that up a bit. By changing our meditation of our experience with love, We can focus on the losses that we've experienced in love. And let me say this, everyone who loves knows the pain of loss. But when we change how we think about love, we will change how love results, what the end result will be in love. If we can change that meditation about love and remind ourselves it's worth waiting for, it's worth being patient for, it's worth the commitment to be like the prodigal father, to be consistently looking for love's return. Change your experience by changing your thoughts, your meditation, and know that it's not an easy fix, but it will always be a result that will bring you joy unspeakable. So wherever you I want to add this. This floated through my mind just in this moment. Wherever you're feeling loveless, you're believing some kind of lie. That just floated through my mind, and I want to run with that for just a minute. Wherever we're feeling loveless, like there's no love coming at us, I would suggest we're living some kind of lie. We've lied to ourselves. We've lied internally. Maybe somebody lied to us about their love or somebody else's love. Whatever the case, there's a lie in there somewhere. I believe we're every one of us made in the image of God. Every human being has the image of God stamped on their being. And as a result, love will always be drawn to the image of God. And where we feel unloved, loveless, where we feel like there's no love coming at us, nowhere, no how, well, then that, my friends, is a position where a lie has planted itself in the middle of our life. And that lie has to be exposed. So finding that lie, maybe it's just the pain of some long-term relationship that blew up on you. Well, find that lie and remind yourself, I'm made in the image of God, and as surely as God draws love to himself, so the image of God in me will draw love to me. You know, I just like the sound of that. And I'm going to tell you, as I've been teaching this morning and this evening, whatever time it is that you came to join this broadcast, I that just rolled through me, and I want to hang on to that and make sure you're hearing that if we feel loveless, we're believing a lie of some sort, and uncovering that lie and taking that lie out with the morning trash and putting it away, putting it completely to rest, is where love will be potentially resurrected. Wow. I think I'm just going to amen myself on that. All right, before this broadcast is over, I want to refresh your memory on what I started with here today, and that is that there's always a risk of codependency in our being alive to love. I started with a commitment that I make annually, have now for the past 5 or 6 years, and that is this: for most, I will love with as much proximity as possible. For some, I will love with as much as I can grasp or learn on any given day. However, for a few, I will need to love them at a safe distance, for their sake and for mine. But no matter what, for all, I will love. When I love, love builds a bigger place inside of me. Love grows something in me that nothing else can grow. So when I am challenged to love, even at a distance, then something inside of me gets bigger. It gets better. It gets stronger. Something inside of me has the capacity for more wisdom, for more grasp on the beauty and the quality of life. We're on this planet to have a quality of life. This we're not here for just survival. We're not here just to eke out an existence. No, my friends. No, 100 times no. We're here for the quality of life. Now, that doesn't mean you may have $1 million every day of your life. It may not mean that you'll have enough dollars for any given day of your life. But it does mean that whether you have $1 million or no dollars, that you can live a life of quality if you have love. Love for yourself, love for God, and love for others will draw you toward quality. I like the sound of that. I just reread a little book that was given to me some years ago about the richest man in town. The richest man in town was an older gentleman in his early 70s. This is a true story about a man who decided that no matter how simple his life was, no matter how basic his life was, no matter how small his little circumference of influence was, that he was going to be a lover. And so his job in this part of his life in his 70s was to be a greeter at Walmart. And so he decided he was going to greet people with the most love he could, and he would learn how to just look people in the eye and smile. He found himself reaching out to shake hands. Of course, that was pre-pandemic days, so all of you out there thinking about, gosh, I don't want to shake hands. Well, this guy was pre-pandemic, and he was shaking hands. Maybe now it'd be bumping elbows or kicking heels together. But at any rate, he decided he was going to greet people with as much love as he could at the door of Walmart. It went from there, and he was promoted to being a cashier at this Walmart. Well, he decided he would carry that same goal and purpose to his checkout line. So he ended up being, now I'm cutting this story as short as I can with as little time as I've got right now. He ended up being the most popular cashier in this particular Walmart. Somewhere here in the Midwest, I'm not recalling the exact location, but Marty was his name, and he decided that at that cashier line, he would be the most cheerful and loving human being he could possibly be. And what ended up happening was that customers who came to that particular Walmart decided when they went that if Marty was on task, if it was Marty's shift to be a cashier, they were going through his line, even if other lines were open. His cashier line was the longest line in that store because everybody enjoyed that one moment with Marty when he would check out your groceries or check out your merchandise, look you in the eye, and say, "You have a nice day now." And he would reach across the cashier line and shake their hand and smile and tell them, "Have a nice day." And then he'd pick right up with the next customer and give them the same kind of attention and love as he possibly could in the short amount of time he had. He grew a reputation that became widely known. In fact, an author and a public speaker found out about Marty and just decided to find out what made Marty tick. And he wrote a book called The Richest Man in Town. You ought to look that up on Amazon or find it in a bookstore somewhere. The Richest Man in Town is a short little book. It's about 100 pages long, and it is impactful because it talks about one simple man, one simple human being who had very little of this world's goods, but he did have the good of love beating in his heart. Well, as we close today's broadcast, I'm going to ask you to join me in a couple of exercises that we do every time. I want you to put aside your distractions for one moment and just focus with me, if you will, please, on your breath. Breathing is the most basic human function. To breathe is to live. And if we are not fully attentive to breathing in a healthy way, then we're taking short breaths and we're just getting anxious without even knowing it. So do it with me. All right. Breathe in deep. Here we go. Hold that breath and exhale. Take another one, draw it in deep and hold it to the bottom of your lungs. Here we go. And exhale. Now, do that all day long. I mean, don't get yourself hyperventilated, but focus on healthy breathing. Slow your life down a little bit. Get yourself uncluttered and undistracted for a little while and breathe deeply. And now I want you to hear the three words that every human being listening to me is longing to hear. Three words. They're like magic. I love you. If you can, look somebody in the eye today. Look several people in the eye today. Smile. Give them the direct attention that maybe they're starving for. And make sure they hear it. I love you. Make it awkward if you have to. Just go ahead and push the limit of comfort and say to somebody with a direct look in the eye, I love you. And I want you to hear me, Randy Dean, telling you, whoever you are, wherever you are, car, if you're jogging, if you're in your kitchen, your office, however it is that you came in to intersect with this broadcast, I want you to hear me say, I love you. And now from the value of love, be alive to love and go out and do something beautiful today. Because folks, oh, isn't it true? Ugly has been done to death. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. It's been a pleasure to be with you one more time. Alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.